Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
We'll have a house party. We don't need nobody. Turn your TV off. Break that boombox out. We'll wake up all the neighbors till the whole block hates us and the cops show up and try to shut us down. If you're gonna be a homebody, we're gonna have a house party. If you wanna be a homebody, we're gonna have a house party.
That's about as wild as it's going to get as we ring in the new year here at this house. And that's just how I like it. Spoken from a true homebody myself. There's no place that I'd rather be. And I welcome you into my home for episode number 38 of Good Things Radio, the last show of 2015. Welcome, welcome to the show. My name is Brooke Taylor, and I'm so glad you're here. Happy New Year to you. I pray your Christmas was happy, that your new year will be blessed whenever you hear this, and that you have the best year ever. And I have to admit, I'm ready for it. In 2015 was a good year, but with the Arise Good Things Radio retreat coming up in March, I have to admit I am ready to go to flip the calendar, super excited. So we're going to get to that more on the program coming up. I've got some updates on the retreat that we'll share with you later today. First, as we do, let's join in prayer though. Once again, I'm pulling out my favorite handy dandy prayer book, Father Edward Hayes, that I think I'm now using almost every show, but it's because it's that good. This specifically is a prayer for the new year. So if you join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you who live outside of time, we ask your blessing this New Year's Day upon your gift to us of time. Bless our clocks and watches. You who kindly direct us to observe the passing of minutes and hours, may they make us aware of the miracle of each second of life we experience. May these, our ticking servants, help us not to miss that which is important while you keep us from machine-like routine. May we ever be free from being clock watchers and instead become time lovers. Bless our calendars, these ordered list of days, weeks and months and holidays and holy days, fasts and feasts, and all of our special days of remembering. May these servants, our calendars, once reserved for the royal few, the magi and pyramid priests, that now grace our homes and lives, may they remind us of birthdays and other gift days as they teach us the secret that all life is meant for celebration and contemplation. Bless, Lord, this new year, each of its 365 days and nights. Bless us with new moons and full moons, happy seasons and a long life. Grant us, Lord, the new gifts of the year, a year of love and mercy, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Wow, I love it. Every year, such a good time to have that natural pause where we stop and think, let the prior year settle and prepare for the new year. And by the way, that prayer is from Prayers for the Domestic Church. It's a handbook for worship in the home, but so many good nuggets in there. And this show, just like all the previous ones and those yet to come, would not be possible, any in 2016, to be honest with you, without the help of our good friends, supporters of the show that are keeping it going. And we've got a few more to add to the list, so we have to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Ken. God bless you, Ken Hudick, a beautifully supportive, wonderful friend from the word go. I know he's been a longtime friend of Greg and Jennifer Willits. Their great work, the new evangelizers and Adventures in Imperfect Living. And just so blessed to know that he believes in this little show as well. So thank you so much, Ken. And he joins all of the Podbean patrons like a Hyder, Tara, Barb, Vanessa, Darcy, Alvarito, Bauer Physics, Jenny, and all of our wonderful good friends that are patrons. So thank you so much for your support. If you want to be a part of the show and be a good friend, it's really easy. All that you have to do is sign up to be part of the Tip Jar program that says you support Good Things Radio. You can pledge $1 a show, $10 a month, whatever the case might be. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. And in return, you are a Good Things Radio, good friends, and you keep the show going. So thank you so much for that. You can go to podbean.com and search Good Things Radio or sign up for our newsletter. And of course, always, I love to hear from you. You know that. Feedback at goodthingsradio.com. That's how to connect.
Dancing in the front yard night and day, and the neighbors walk by and this is what they say.
Are those Christmas jammies?
They are Christmas jammies. Check it out.
Well, I don't know about you, but I still am in my Christmas jammies and proud of it. It's confession time. And because it feels nice to have this downtime where you're not having to get onto the routine back to normal yet, and everybody is just sleeping in a little bit and you feel like you're hibernating, but it's all good. And I'm not ready for Christmas to be over yet. I noticed that a classmate I went to school with on Facebook was proudly packing up all of her Christmas stuff. And it's like, no, we're not done yet. So if you're Catholic, especially, you know that we keep going until the Feast of the Epiphany. And I also, since it's the New Year's show, want to welcome a special guest to the program today. It's my mom. Welcome, Mom.
Thanks so much. Happy end of the year. Well, it's not something that we usually say, but I think there's so much to be grateful for, even amidst maybe things that didn't go as we expected, but it is time, not only at the beginning of the year, but just this special week.
Yes, always. And I like that you wore your Christmas sweater while I'm in my Oscar the Grouch pajama pants. At least one of us is classy and dressing up. So you're going to share some words of wisdom about how to have a great year in 2016. And we also have some highlights about the retreat that we want to share too. So I guess we can just start by talking about Christmas, just a little brief recap. We still have like the remnants under the tree, some leftover bows and some toys that are still there. But I hope that Santa was good to you this year. And for us, I'm just going to pick one highlight. And for me, that was the anticipation of a comedian and having a pack of tickets for my son to see, because we're trying to do more experiences this year, which makes less presents under the tree, but hopefully more memories in the long run. So he loves comedian Brian Regan. And in fact, he's a clean comedian, goes to sleep listening to his comedy bits at night. He's like the jokester of the family. So we thought, he didn't even know he was coming to town. He's coming to Columbus a couple hours away, that we'd get him a comedy DVD, write a little note on the back and say the other part of your presents under the tree or on the tree. And on the tree was an envelope inside with tickets to see him in Columbus. And if you don't know Brian Regan, he's fantastic. I'm going to see. Let me quick, if I can find a Brian Regan clip to show you. Okay, here we go. This is from Big Family Stuff. Okay, this is on YouTube. Big Family Stuff. It's the clip where he's talking about his siblings building a ramp out on the street and what happens when somebody inevitably gets hurt and has to go in and tell mom what happened. Here's Brian Regan.
Hey, that was the easy part. The hard part was being the kid that got sent in first to calm mom down before you dragged in the actual banged up brother. You'd have to be the point man, you know? Go tell mom. Oh, no. It's your turn. Oh. So you'd have to run in. Hey, mom. Oh, okay. Everything's fine. You know she bought that. Yeah. Everything's fine. I just want to run in at full speed and, you know, say hi and okay. So, oh, you know Kevin. Oh, okay, of course. Okay. Well, you know how like his right arm, usually it bends. Usually it would bend like that. Okay, it's not bending like that right now. And it's no big deal because we already looked at it, but we were thinking, since you said that you had to go get milk later anyway, so we were thinking since you have to go anyway, then we were all thinking if you just might want to take him to the hospital. And if you get peanut butter, get smooth.
Okay, so that's him. So true. And maybe you already know, I really like Jim Gaffigan, that he is kind of a higher level. He's funny, but he's also clean. And, you know, something that I can introduce. And Jeff Foxworthy, too, I think does a good job. So that was probably my biggest favorite moment. And of course, each child seeing the anticipation, their reaction, little to big, was always the best. I talked to a relative who doesn't have children that are young anymore, and she's just by herself. And she said, I don't, it's hard to get into the spirit of Christmas. She said, I just don't feel the same, even with grandkids, since my kids have grown. So it really made me stop and think about that and the joy. And what about you, Mom? Did you have a highlight in particular for Christmas?
Well, I think it's hard to pinpoint one. It was generally the whole finished baked cake, so to speak, as you have all the ingredients of the Christmas music, the kids, their own countdown, and what their list consisted of, and just their anticipation, but also the anticipation of Christmas liturgy. I loved that for the whole parish, because the music, whether it's the children's group or the folk group or the choir, that is because everybody sings. That's the best part.
That's a good point. It's loud and everybody knows because they're familiar.
Right.
And you just can't help it. That's a great point.
And so I love that part. And then I still in my heart wish that's, you know, closer, perhaps there would be midnight mass. I know the impracticality of that. But I remember as a child going with my mom and dad and my brother and I going and coming home, and it was, you know, probably 1:30 in the morning. But there was something, because it was nighttime and so still and so quiet, that you could, the peace was palpable. And it was like, it didn't matter whether you went to sleep or not, because it was just like, I want to feel and experience this time of peace and knowing that tomorrow would bring all kinds of surprises.
Now, when you're thinking about this, was this in the 50s? 60s?
50s.
So as a little girl, I'm rabbit trailing here, but I'm picturing you as a little girl going to Mass. And did you wear a veil at that time, or was that just reserved for the adults? Because this is before Vatican II.
There was, I think when I was little, a lot of people wore hats. It just was fun, and you would have a Sunday hat, so it could
be,
yeah, you it could be white or it could be black, something that would go with your coat,
okay.
and you just put your coat and hat on,
and you keep your hat on,
yes,
well, because it's just so different these days. Unless you watch, you know, Princess Kate in England, you're not seeing, or the Kentucky Derby, the fancy hats like that anymore. And I love the femininity of that. I ask you that because we went on this retreat, and in the next episode, we'll get into it. And if anyone, as you hear the topic, has a strong opinion, I would love to hear your input. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. But one of the takeaways from the retreat that we had as a family was a book called Dressing with Dignity. And I think it's Colleen Hammond. I can't remember the author. But it's a book that's well known. It's been out for a while. And she talks about authentic femininity, about wearing long skirts, about how slowly over time, all sense of modesty has been completely done away with, which is a tragedy. And how when women began to wear pants, they kind of started acting more like men, which is interesting, maybe controversial. But she brings up so many great points. But the biggest takeaway for me was the aspect of wearing a veil, a mantilla. And I had one for a long time. A friend of mine gave me, Karen, at Rhoda Wise's house. And that's a story in and of itself, the story of Rhoda Wise, a mystic. She gave it to me with such reverence, and I was excited to wear it. But then I was afraid. I was self-conscious because no one in our church wears a veil. And I thought, it's not practical. I have little kids, they're going to be pulling it off. It's just not, you know, no one else does it. And then finally, after a few years, I got up the courage to ask my pastor about it. And he said, you know, it's not necessary. It's not needed. Mm-hmm. And it might be a distraction, because if people see you wear a veil, they might believe that you think you're holy or you're setting yourself apart. So that was the end of that. I thought, well, I'm not and I won't. And so no big deal. But when I talked to Sister about this at the retreat, she said, you know, that's pride. And she said, if God's calling you to that, you should. And so the idea of a veil is, first of all, the privilege, you know, thinking that the Blessed Mother was veiled for 2,000 years. That's what our church taught. And then all of a sudden, it didn't matter anymore. And you do, I feel, carry yourself. I decided, to make a long story short, to wear it. And my kids didn't even notice. Here, I'm worried that everyone's going to laugh or think I'm weird. My kids didn't even notice, except on the way my son, my teenage boy, said, "Mom, you look like a widow," because it was black. But, you know, the reverence, when I got in, I felt special. I felt almost like a bride. And it, in my actions, it was like, wow, this is such a privilege. And you feel like you're going before the Lord properly dressed. And so I just wondered your thoughts about that, because you don't wear one, you haven't. And I know you said, when I asked for your advice, it's between you and the Holy Spirit. But thinking about you as a little girl going to Mass, having a hat or a head covering, was it an easy transition just to do away with that? Or do you miss that tradition?
Well, I guess the strongest conviction or the strongest emotional tie to that wasn't when I was a child. It was when I was 14 and went to, as an aspirant or a prep, to Notre Dame. And when we first got there, I think we had just some little hat. And after we were there for 6 weeks, it was called Veiling Day. And it was basically a white chiffon veil, and it just had a headband. So that's all you did. You put it in your locker, and before you went to chapel, it was exclusively for chapel. But you would put your veil on, and it was a mark of reverence that I cherished. And then as the time in religious life evolved, and I became a postulant, that veil became more of a black chiffon. And then as a novice, it was the traditional, at that time, a white veil, signifying that, you know, you're studying the order. But to me, it is definitely something that is a community call, because some communities that are new are definitely doing the traditional full habit and with specific colors and specific materials.
Well, but a layperson, you or me?
I just don't know, because even on Easter, when, you know, many churches, women would wear hats, you just don't see it. And so I don't know. I think unless the Holy Spirit kind of plants it there and prompts.
Well, and I think each community is made up of a different set of people and traditions and heritage. In Wisconsin, where we lived, there were a lot of farmers. So you would see often flannel shirts and overalls for church. But that wasn't a scandal, because they literally were coming from the fields to go to Mass, something that was very important, back out to the fields again, or the dairy farm, or whatever the case might be. Now, if you're in an older Italian parish or something, you might see that. And I was looking at Amazon, because after I wore the veil, I thought, I'm doing this forever. I felt so, I don't want to say holy, but I felt right, I guess. And I went on to Amazon, and there are Spanish lace mantillas, just beautiful, exquisite, beautifully made, Blessed Mother, all sorts. And in fact, there's a website that you can, for little girls, get veils for their dolls. And they can begin veiling, and little girls can do that. And then, because I think the more you get used to it, you don't even think about it. It's not an issue. But that one of the sisters at the retreat that we were at the convent, she said she began, and within a month, there were 3 other women that started to do it. And so she said it just really has to be a call with the Holy Spirit. So thank you. And if you have any feedback, I'd love to hear your thoughts, because I'm still, then the next week, I didn't for Christmas because I forgot. And it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. Well, that was short-lived. And so I don't want it to become an idol either, where I'm actually thinking about it too much either way. So I'd love to know your thoughts. Do you do it? Have you done it? Why? Why not? Do you have an opinion? Feedback@goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach us.
Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen.
Okay. Okay, and before we get into the new year, I have to get into the retreat. Arise is the name of the first ever Good Things Radio retreat, which you know by now. It's based on Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2, and the countdown is now less than 75 days and counting, and things are heating up in terms of buzz and the goodie bags. So I just have a few updates to share with you that I was excited about and wanted to give thanks to one of our retreatants, actually, that is affiliated with Matthew Kelly and his apostolate, Dynamic Catholic. So she was able to secure the book, Walking with Purpose, Seven Priorities That Make Life Work. It wasn't written by Matthew Kelly, but it's a book for women, about women prioritizing in a holy way and bringing peace and moving out all of the hectic chaos, which who can't use that? We could all use that. So thank you. Each woman at the retreat is going to get a copy of that book. Also, Danielle Bean, writer, editor, blogger, co-host of the fantastic TV program called The Gist. Just admire her so much. She has agreed to donate a copy of Catholic Digest for everyone as well. Walsh University, our sponsor, making sure every woman received a copy of Magnificat. It's got the daily readings and reflections, meditations. You'll get the month of April version issue. So that's just to start. We are going to have raffles. I have a wonderful assistant, Marie. And Marie is one of the, she's a mom of 10. She's a homeschooler. I'm letting you catch your breath because she's one of those women that are just amazing. And so, you know how that old adage is, if you want something done, ask someone who's busy because they'll get it done. So she's kind of my right-hand woman here, and she's lining up some raffle prizes, some goodies. But that is, again, just to start, not to mention all of the speakers who are providing their books for all the retreatants as well. And we have, I think at last count, it was 10 tickets left. We did sell a few over the Christmas break, so I know some blessed women received that as a Christmas gift. And again, it's the stories of the women who are coming, a hospice nurse, single moms, doctors, stay-home moms, homeschool moms, moms working in corporate America, moms that work in the special needs field, on and on. So all glory to God. And we just say, come Holy Spirit. But if you're still interested and don't have your tickets, you can. And in fact, we're now opening up with just a few left for payment plans. And I say that reluctantly because at first we did not want to do that or offer that option because we knew it would be difficult for 50 people using payment plans. But now that we have a few left, we're just really laying it before the Lord and saying, look, whoever's supposed to come, bring them and we'll work it out. So if you're interested, let us know. Again, we've got about 10 tickets left. And as we wrap up the show, Mom, your birthday's coming up in February, at the end of February. And although you're still a young lady, you've lived through a lot of ups and downs and ins and outs in many years. And this 2016 will be another new year for you. So as it's the year of mercy as well, I thought would be neat to hear your sage words, your perspective of faith and how we might best approach this new year coming up.
It's hard to be brief in something like that when you have an invitation. It's like, okay, do I have 2 minutes or do I have 2 hours? But basically...
Not 2 hours.
Okay. Basically, I try. I'm not always on that page, but I try to retract and pull back from the various and many ways that I operate, and it just seems because God has me in many different directions that I try to pull back and just be reflective and then be open, because I've been in some things many years, some things maybe just a couple. It doesn't mean that this new year, any of those components need to stay the same. It means that I need to be very much listening to the Holy Spirit and open, as a child is open and eager when they start school. That is my hope at the beginning of every year, and periodically I really try to go back to that, to reassess.
Well, it's interesting because as you say that word being open, I think it also applies to not just where is the Holy Spirit going to send you out, but where are the limitations? What are your limits? And being open to that as well. Because so often we want to say yes, we feel guilty, we want to do more, we want to go, and then we realize we're overextended. Yes. And sometimes less is more. Right. So maybe for that, that as well, to know our limits, to know how to set holy limits that are good.
I agree totally.
Is that all? Wow, okay. Did you have something to read?
Yes.
Okay. You brought this, what's that called again?
It's a Christmas letter.
No, yes, I know it's a Christmas letter, but the flowers.
Poinsettias.
See, yeah, I'm poinsettias. You're actually matching the paper in your sweater. It's a poinsettia sweater. See, this is... rubbing it in as I'm in my Oscar pants, and you actually match the paper to your sweater. Okay, go ahead.
This is a reflection that was sent through a Christmas letter written by Samuel Gordon, and he says that joy is distinctly a Christian word and a Christian experience. It is the reverse of happiness, he says. Happiness is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. Joy has its spring deep down inside, and that spring never runs dry, no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives that joy. He had joy, singing its music within, even under the shadow of the cross. And so it's such a simple word, three letters, but let that be your star that guides you this year.
Boy, I think in an election year, we really need that because we know it's going to get ugly, confusing, frustrating if you live here in the United States of America with the election. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry. You know, the nature of this, because I'm thinking about the year ahead and I always kind of go to what's happening in my family, what's happening in the news. I was running on the treadmill today. I was thinking, we're so grateful. I know so many people, oddly enough, right now that are in New York City right now. And with ISIS and everything, it's like, what a blessing that we can travel freely, that we can feel safe. You just never know what the next day, what the next year, what the next month is going to bring. So to have joy where we are today is, I think, is important. And also, when you ring in the new year, I think that's always significant as well. I was reading about different things you could do to kind of christened 2016, and someone was writing, if you want to get fit, go for a run right at midnight. Now, that won't work for us because we're going to be in the cabin in the woods, and I've seen too many Friday the 13th. I'm not going to do that. But I love the idea. Yes. I can do a sit-up. That's fine. But adoration. I had a wonderful listener when I was at the Fish who then ended up entering religious life, but she said, do you know of any place that has perpetual adoration at midnight on New Year's Eve? She said, I can't imagine a better way to begin a new year than sitting with the Lord. And I love that idea as well. So whatever it is, if it's family or faith, that you sit with the gospel or the book of Revelation, you know, whatever it is at midnight, I just think that's an opportunity spiritually, emotionally, mentally to really set the stage. And of course, you know, we can be superstitious. I remember one year we had sauerkraut for our New Year's dinner and it ended up being the worst year ever. And my dad said, we're never having sauerkraut again. But the reality of, you know, even if you don't start well, you can end well. And if you start well, you just give it to God and be open, like you said.
Right.
Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and old anxiety?
Thank you so much for joining me for our New Year's Eve episode, our New Year's show, episode number 38 of Good Things Radio. And any feedback, as always, we love. Feedback at goodthingsradio.com. You can reach us, share your thoughts. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a wonderful producer who wears many hats. You can find out more on his website, cumminghomestudios.com. As always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just look for Good Things Radio and spread the word, even if you don't want to sign up to be a good friend through our Podbean Patreon program, you can share this show with others if you find merit. Help us grow and continue. God bless you, my friends. Happy New Year. And Mom, would you end in prayer? Could you wrap us up, please?
Yes. Dearest Heavenly Father, Jesus, our Emmanuel, and Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Paraclete, we thank you. We thank you, we praise you, and with the time in the fullness of time that happened in Bethlehem, where the songs and the shepherds, the angels, everything came together in a way that is mystifying, and yet we know that it's real. And we hope that this year we can live and walk in faith. Faith and hope and love, and actually be alive in the Spirit in spite of winds and anything that would want to deter or detract us. And we know this is possible, not because of anything that we can do, but because of His amazing grace.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, friends. Until next time, we'll catch you in our next episode, number 39 of Good Things Radio. May your new year be blessed and abundantly graced. God bless you, friends.